Morning. Nice to see all of you. Happy Sabbath. Got to make sure my mic is on. Can you guys hear me? Praise the Lord. So, anybody had a good week? Huh? You guys did? Praise the Lord. It's interesting because whenever I am going to do something for the Lord, whether it's a sermon, a special music, a Bible study, the week seems to go wrong. Everything. From stubbing toes to speeding tickets. Trialful week, but praise the Lord, I'm here. Before we start, how about we start off with a word of prayer? Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your love, your goodness, and your grace. We thank you for the time that we can spend together, Lord. I thank you for this opportunity to come to the Puna Church with my Puna brethren and to share the word of God with them. I just pray that you will be with us, work in our heart and hearts, Lord. Soften them up. Send a double portion of your Holy Spirit to open our ears and our minds, Lord. We thank you and we love you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you look in your bulletins, it says, my sermon title is How to Increase Your Faith. Now, about midweek, I had a change of heart, and so I decided to go in a different direction. And so the title of today's sermon is simply named or titled Family. Now, family, anybody here not have a family? Okay, good. We all have a family of some sort, right? Now, anybody have a quirky family? Anybody's family is a little bit nuts, a little crazy, a little abnormal. I think everybody's family has a craziness to them, and my family's no different. I recently realized that my sister and I, we're really close, but yet she has these competitions with me that I don't know about. For instance, we share the same bathroom, and she thinks that she's in a competition with me about toothpaste, because I'll use the toothpaste until, like, you can't squeeze any more out. And even if it's the tube's completely empty and there's still a little bit in the tip, you squeeze out a little bit, I'll keep using it. And in her mind, it's a competition to see who's going to fold first and get a new tube of toothpaste. And so it apparently has been going on for months now, because she's always, I'm not going to fold. And she ends up folding, and voila, there's a new tube of toothpaste in the bathroom. And I don't know anything about it. So, oh, look, new tube of toothpaste. Awesome. And it wasn't until, I think, yesterday she told me, Michael, I'm not going to fold. And I'm like, about what? And she said, the toothpaste. I'm like, what about the toothpaste? And she said, you never get a new tube of toothpaste. And my sister's a little OCD. And she's not here today, so that's why I can say these things. And so we have this quirky thing about, apparently, she thinks the toothpaste is a competition. And so yesterday I decided to fold and I got the new tube of toothpaste. And all of our families have quirky sides to them. Another thing about my Portuguese side of the family is we talk extremely loud. To the untrained ear, it seems like we're yelling at each other. But in actuality, it's just regular conversations. I remember my sister, again, we were in Maui. My Portuguese family lives in Maui, up in the mountains. And she brought a friend with her, and her friend was Japanese, completely different culture than the Portuguese culture, right? And we were setting up for my cousin's graduation party, and my family is yelling at each other, or we think we're just talking, but, Jerry, you're putting that thing on crooked! Lacey, what are you doing? Isabel, blah, blah, blah! And my sister's friend comes up to me and is like, Mike, your family fights a lot, don't they? And I was like, really? I thought they were just talking. And so family is very quirky. We're abnormal. And everybody has this little weirdness in their family, right? But Pastor came back from the mainland this past week. And he was in the mainland at a seminary pastoral training thing. And he was specializing in family ministries. And he brought up a lot of really good points that I had never thought about. And he told me, you know, I'm like, I learned up there from one of his professors that the old style of evangelism is not working in the 21st century. Now, we still try to have the 10 meetings like they did in Ellen White's days. You know, we throw up the 10. We did it over here. It was successful. But times are changing. And he said that, you know, the old way of evangelism, Bible work and door-to-door knocking, it's becoming less and less successful. I mean, there's still some success in it, but it's really difficult. And he was saying the old side of evangelism is getting hard to do. And what we really need to focus on now is family ministries, because families is where the devil is really attacking. Now, we can see this all the way through the Bible. Now, before we get into the study, I'm going to make four quick points during the sermon. But before we get into those points, what is family? Now, the definition of family is a support group or a unit of people that provides for each other. Now, that's really interesting, because the provisions today, a lot of times we kind of falter on the provisions. Divorce is written, but I looked up the definition of Ohana. Ohana means family, right? We all know that. But I looked up a little bit of a deeper meaning. The root word of Ohana is Oha. Now, Oha refers to the taro plant's, or the kalo, the taro plant's stem, or the root. And the Hawaiians used to refer to the Oha as the staff of life, meaning the family is the staff of life in Hawaii. Now, point number one, family isn't what it used to be. Families are being ridden with divorce. Percentages of divorce for first marriages is 45 to 50%. Divorce in second marriages is even higher at 60 to 67%. And people think, okay, well, first time failed, second time failed, let's try the third swing. The third marriage's divorce percentage is at a whopping 70 to 73%. Now, along with divorce comes the problem of fatherless homes. Fatherless homes today are prevalent, and to my surprise, statistics say that it's not always the father's fault. It says 50% of children are from fatherless homes, that's one in two. 40% of mothers reported that they had interfered with the father's visitation rights to punish their ex-spouse. 50% of mothers see no value in the father's continued contact with his children. But fathers who have visitation rights, 90% of them pay child support. Now, I'm not trying to bash either side, but I'm also a youth leader in the Hilo Church, and most, I would say a good 75% of the youth come from broken families, broken homes, broken support systems, most of which are fatherless. Now, they also said 93% of fatherless, let me rephrase that. 93% of teen suicides come from fatherless homes. And my heart breaks for these homes, because my friends are from them, my colleagues, my coworkers, the youth in my youth group. It's really difficult. Now, point number two, the family unit has been attacked from the beginning of the earth. If you think about it, there were two institutions that God instilled before the fall, before sin. First one is the Sabbath. The Lord said, you know, I created the earth in six days, seventh day, we're going to rest. That was before the fall. And the second institution that was instilled was the family. Think about it today. What two things is the devil attacking the most in today's world? The Sabbath and the family. So here we have a lot of problems with family. See, the devil is tearing apart our families. The devil is breaking families apart. Grudges are being held, divorces, fights. The devil is doing everything in his power. This is where ministry is needed, because how can we witness to others when us ourselves are broken? Go with me to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, like I said, the devil has been attacking the family since the beginning of Earth's history. Genesis chapter 4 is the story of Cain and Abel. Genesis 4, starting with verse 3. Genesis 4, starting with verse 3. If you're there, say amen. All right. Bible says, "And in process time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fatted thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell." Now, Cain and Abel were brothers. Cain was a farmer. He took care of the soil and he grew fruits and vegetables. And Abel was a shepherd. He took care of the flocks. We all know this. And the Lord had a specific criteria for sacrifices. Cain went outside of that and did his own thing. Abel stuck to the criteria and did what the Lord asked. Now look what happened in verse 5. But unto Cain, to his offering had no respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Verse 6. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, or why are you mad? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, thou shalt not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Verse 8. And Cain talked with his brother, or with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel and his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? The very first family in Earth's history was a dysfunctional family. First family had murder in it. And if you look throughout the course of history, Jacob and Esau followed. And sure enough, that was a dysfunctional family also. From the very beginning, the devil has been attacking the family unit. Now, if you saw in verse 9, it ended with Cain saying, am I my brother's keeper? What is the answer to that? Well, yeah, kind of. You are kind of your brother's keeper. We're as siblings and as children of God, we're supposed to look after each other, right? Now, sure, he may not have known where Abel was exactly, but we are supposed to look after our family. Now, thankfully, in Hawaii, we're very ohana-oriented. Now, has anybody ever lived with an extended part of their family, like grandparents, aunties, uncles? For instance, my family, my grandparents have always lived with us. My grandma lives with us, and when my grandpa was alive, he lived with us also. And in Hawaii, we're very family-oriented. We take care of our family. You know, when our parents are old, we take care of them. They live with us, or at least we visit them. But sadly, in a lot of other places, it's not like that. When parents get old, what happens? Just throw them in the home, right? Throw them in the elderly home. Saying, you know, I don't really have time to take care of you, so I'm going to put you in this home so you can still be taken care of, right? And from some of the elderly people I've talked to, a lot of times the elderly care home isn't a happy place. I've talked to a lot of people who struggle in care homes. They're ill-treated. Sometimes the attention isn't there. Families don't even go and visit too often. There's a story I heard about a family. And a family had their grandfather living with them. The parents' his dad was living with them, and he was too old. He was pretty old. And he had that disease where his hands would shake, and he had a hard time cutting his food at the table. And so every night, either the husband or the wife would go and cut his food for him. So, okay, Dad, here you go. And so he would eat his food, and this happened day in and day out. And eventually, both husband and wife got really sick of it. It's like, you know what? I'm tired. You're a grown man. Cut your own food. And the man, being diseased and handicapped, he began to cry. Sat there in his chair and started crying. And there was little Tyler at the table. Tyler was about 5-6 years old. Saw his grandpa crying. Never seen his grandpa cry before. He got up, grabbed the knife with his hand. He didn't know how to hold it right. So he stuck his fork into the grandpa's food and, you know, started sawing away. And Tyler's mom said, Tyler, what are you doing? Tyler looked up at his mom and said, I'm practicing for you. Now, we need to take care of our family, right? Family units are being attacked. There is a lack of respect. In fact, family unit is so important that the Lord even put it into the Ten Commandments, honor thy father and mother. Now, if we look at the course of Bible history, at the course of what the Lord has done for us, there's a theme throughout the whole Bible, and that Bible is Jesus trying to reunite his family. When sin entered the world, the Lord no longer had contact with his children. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Go with me to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. It says, whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is transgression of the law. Sin is the breaking of God's law. And also in Isaiah, it says, your sins have what? Separated you from the Lord. Our sins draw, puts up a wall between us and our Father, our Creator. Throughout the course of history, throughout the course of the Bible, the Lord is trying to get back to his family. He sends his son, Jesus, to come and die for us. In the New Testament, point number three, Jesus came to unite us with our heavenly family, with our heavenly Father. He came to connect us with the Father again so that we could be the children of God. Like I've said, throughout the whole Bible, you see events happening, and we keep running away from the Lord. We stray away. Trials happen. In the Old Testament, they used to go into captivity. Other nations would capture them. And today, lines are drawn. We run away from the Lord. Does the Lord run away from us? No, the Lord is consistently knocking at the door of our hearts. Go with me to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, and Luke chapter 15 is a parable chapter. There's three different parables. Go with me to Luke 15. In Luke chapter 15, there are three different parables. There is the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son. The prodigal son. Now, this is interesting. When I was at Amazing Facts, I was talking to Pastor about this also. In Luke 15, you see three different stories. Three different stories that illustrate three different types of people. Three different types of lost people. First of all, there's the lost sheep. The lost sheep strays away from the flock, or he's lost, and he's looking for help. The lost sheep is looking for help. He's looking for someone to help them. A lot of times in today's world, there's people looking for help. There's people looking for a savior, but they don't know where to go. Then there's the illustration of the lost coin, the parable of the lost coin. The lost coin is an inanimate object. It doesn't know it's lost. Now, there's also people in today's world that don't know they're lost. They don't know the Lord, and they don't know what's going on. So that's the other type of loss. The third type of person, or third type of illustration, is the prodigal son. That's us. We're in the church. We know the Lord. But we begin to want our own thing. Now, I'm preaching to myself here also. We begin to be unhappy with what the Lord has done for us. And the Lord does marvelous things in our lives, right? But we begin to be unhappy. And we run away from the Lord. Now, it's interesting because when the prodigal son ran away, his father still provided for him. He gave him his inheritance. He had clothes on his back. He said, okay, here you go. Do whatever you want. The same thing, the Lord does this exact same thing to us. He says, you know, I still love you, but you make your own choices. We run away from the Lord. Sometimes it takes years, months, a couple days maybe. And the Lord is still waiting for us to come back. Says, my son was dead, or my son was lost, and now he's found again. So there's three kinds of lost that the Bible illustrates. And every single one, the Lord is searching to reunite his family. The Lord never forces his love on us. If we walk away, he lets us. But soon we realize that we can't do anything without him, and he mercifully takes us back. No questions asked. Sometimes, you know, we want to make a return at a store. We want to make a return at Home Depot or Walmart, and they ask us what's wrong with the product. And we have to kind of argue our way to get our money back. But thankfully, the Lord is not like that. The Lord says, sure, no questions asked. I'll take you back. Last point. When Jesus comes again, and finally at the end of the days, our family will be united. Go with me to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21. We're looking at the theme of family. Revelation 21, starting with verse 2. Revelation 21, starting with verse 2 to verse 4. Bible says, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The Lord says, in the New Jerusalem, he is going to marry his bride. There's going to be a family reunion. A family will be united again. You see the theme of family throughout the Bible? You with me? Amen. All right, amen. I got one. So, at the end, when Jesus comes again, when the Jerusalem descends out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband, we will be united as a family again. And verse 3, it says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be," what? "With them, and he will be their God." Verse 4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, nor shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away." We see at the end, when everything is said and done, the Lord will reunite his family again. How many of you want to be part of that family reunion? I want to be there. Now, in summary, we've looked at a few points today. First of all, we see that family isn't what it used to be. The biblical definition of family is broken. We are no longer family-oriented. We've seen that the devil has been attacking the family unit from the beginning of time, or at least from the beginning of Earth's history. In the New Testament, Jesus came to reunite his family. He came to die so that we can be connected to our Heavenly Father again. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we may be called children or sons and daughters of God," right? That we can be part of his family. And finally, we see that at the end of time, Jesus will marry his bride, the church, his people, and we will be a family unit again. And the best part, there will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. Life will be as it was before. Sin separates us from God, and oftentimes we run away from him. My question is, what is separating you from the Lord? What is in your life that is creating a roadblock, a stumbling block in your own life? Pray about it. Ask the Lord, "Lord, if I can't see it, show it to me." Ask the Lord, "Lord, I want to be close to you. I want to be connected to you," because there is no satisfaction like being connected to the Lord. We all need that connection. Sometimes it's alcohol, sex, drugs, work, bad relationships. That stuff separates us from the Lord. Ask yourself, what is separating me? And if you can't figure it out, ask the Lord to reveal it to you, because the Lord is striving for a relationship with you. Surround yourself with good people. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And if you're in a pothole, on your back, laying on the ground, remember, you can't see the silver lining unless you're looking up at the clouds. The Lord loves you. He's waiting for you. And I pray that we can all be in heaven one day. The only way, and the original title for the sermon I was originally going to do is How to Increase Your Faith. The answer is read the Bible. He's keeping his word. I mean, if you don't read the Bible every day, at least try for 10 minutes. 10 minutes. That's just a few verses. The Lord wants to be closer to you. How many of you want to try and make a better relationship between you and your Heavenly Father? Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your love, your goodness, and your grace, Lord. We pray that whatever is separating us from you, Lord, that we can be drawn closer to you. We thank you. We love you. Lord, please draw us closer to you. Help us to build a faith that is strong in you, Lord. I pray that no matter what, that we will always be able to look to you and hold on to your strong hands. That even in the low and pits of our life, that we can rely upon you for strength. And we thank you. We love you. Help us to reach out to others also. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.